Our guest this morning on Minnesota Reads is James Schiffer. He's the author of a book called The King of Skid Row, The Twilight Years of Old Minneapolis. James, good morning, and thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
So tell us a little bit about this guy, John pronounce it for me so I don't mangle it.
Bassich.
John Bassich. Tell us a little bit about him.
Well, he was originally from your neck of the woods, Twin Ports area. He was born in Duluth, grew up in Superior, and he moved with his family down to the Twin Cities back in the 1920s. And his father was a bootlegger and then a real estate speculator, and John kind of followed in his footsteps a little bit. He served in the Second World War, and then afterwards he opened a liquor store and a bar and a flop house in the old Skid Row in Minneapolis, which was called the Gateway District.
You know, there have been some absolutely fascinating novels, and I guess by novels I mean books, because some of them are historically based, about gang bosses and organized crime, and here's a novel about a book, not necessarily a fictional story. A book about a guy, you know, running a flop house and a liquor store. How much time needs to pass before we can look back on some of these things, and instead of them being horrible instances of crime and degeneracy, they become interesting?
Well, I mean, we've always been interested in crime and degeneracy, but, you know, I mean, I think what I was trying to do with this book was really bring to life an era of Minneapolis history that, at the time, the city leaders were eager to get rid of because they felt like it was a blight upon the city. I mean, it was essentially you had 3,000 single men who were, a lot of them were old railroad workers and things, they were the last generation of these seasonal laborers, but they were considered, a lot of them were alcoholics, and they were kind of rambunctious and troublemaking, and they were not the image that the city wanted to have. And so, you know, the city demolished the neighborhood and forced these guys to find another place to live. But I guess what I was trying to do was show that, okay, yeah, there was definitely problems with this community, but it was a real community. So I do think that state and the city are ready to kind of come to terms with the fact that it wasn't just a sort of a blight, that there was a community there, especially now that people want to live in downtowns again. You know, there's sort of, this was a downtown community that existed for years and years and years, which sort of preceded the kind of new wave of people moving downtown.
So possibly what you're saying is that once you solve the problem, or you sort of solve the problem, then you can maybe go back and wax nostalgic about it a little bit,
I hear what you're saying. I mean, I think it's more than nostalgia, though, because I do think that, you know, a lot of what the point I was trying to make was cities have these kind of grand plans, right? And they say, we're going to do this, and the city's going to turn out better. But it doesn't always turn out better. We have very different ideas about kind of historic preservation, for example, than we did back in the 1950s when old was bad, you know, and we just wanted to demolish it. And what they replaced it with in Minneapolis really wasn't terribly appealing. You know, it was kind of these ugly modernist buildings that were just kind of had no soul, and there's no street life. There's no old city in Minneapolis anymore because of it. So I think, you know, it's more than nostalgia, but it's actually examining our new relationship to, you know, in hindsight, we can see the things that went wrong and that the ideas that we had that it was going to turn out a certain way, but it didn't.
Well, it is really the idea of the way that when you talk just about architecture, not necessarily some of the social ills, but you talk just about architecture, there was that era when I was a little kid where that was exactly it. Old is bad, rip it down, put up something nice. And now I trust there are a bunch of people kicking themselves going, oh, you know, we could have repurposed this, but, you know, wouldn't it have absolutely been wonderful if we had had fill in the blank?
Absolutely. I mean, I'm not one of these people who believes that historic preservation is the answer to everything. I mean, I think, you know, there are plenty of places that have preserved old buildings that are not vibrant, you know. But I do think in this case, you know, the most, if people know anything about the neighborhood, they have heard of a sort of an architectural landmark called the Metropolitan Building that was torn down. That was sort of a collateral damage in this. It just happened to be kind of on the edge of the neighborhood that was being redeveloped. But it was the first skyscraper west of the Mississippi, you know, built in, I believe it opened in 1890. And it was an architectural marvel of the time. And they actually, the effort to tear it down was fought all the way to the Minnesota Supreme Court. So that was one thing that people really regret, tearing down the Metropolitan Building. But I do think, you know, you would have a streetscape in downtown Minneapolis that would be very sort of appealing, and I think had those buildings been restored, and a lot of them were in really bad shape, but, you know, they could have been, it would have been much more of the feeling of an old city, and I do think there's a lot of regret as to the draconian approach to urban redevelopment that we had back then.
Now, you're not necessarily an architect, so I'm going to but I'm going to ask you something anyway that you may or may not know the answer to. Is it becoming financially feasible again to build buildings with some character, with some of the old details, some of the old charm, or are we still at a place where the only thing that makes sense financially is to build a box?
Well, you know, yeah, I mean, I'm it's a little out of my knowledge. I would say, you know, watching what's interesting about in this area that I write about is you're starting to see new buildings going up on these lots that have been vacant for years and years and years, and some of them are interesting, as you describe. You know, they have a little more character than the kind of blocky boxes that were put up for years. But I would say there is a certain sameness to it. If you go and look at the new construction of all these apartment buildings in Minneapolis and St. Paul and in the suburbs, they all look the same. They really do. And you know, they're not unattractive on their own, but I kind of wonder what we're going to think of them in 30 years.
Tear it down. We need the old stuff. Well, James, thank you so much for joining us this morning and for, you know, speaking outside your comfort zone. Bless your heart.
Oh, I'll talk about outside my comfort zone anytime.
Thanks so much, James.
Thank you.
James Schiffer, our guest this morning on Minnesota Reads. He's the author of a book called The King of Skid Row, The Twilight Years of Old Minneapolis. Minnesota Reads is produced at KUMD with funding provided in part by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.